Let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and rejoice in you. We rejoice that we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we're going to open your word now, and we pray that your word will enter our hearts to thanksgiving, to rejoice in the fact that you are the Lord and we are your people. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19, and also Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26.
Proverbs 6, from 16 to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Then we go to Galatians 5, 16 to 26. It's entitled, Keep in Step with the Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Is that it?
Yeah. I'm going to read also Lord's Day 32. Lord's Day 32. Of the Heidelberg Catechism, only question and answer 86, as it has some relevance to the sermon this evening. We have been delivered from our misery by God's grace alone through Christ, and not because we have earned it. Why then must we still do good? And the answer, to be sure, Christ has redeemed us by his blood. But we do good because Christ, by his Spirit, is also renewing us to be like himself, so that in all our living we may show that we are thankful to God for all he has done for us, and so that he may be praised through us. And we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living our neighbors may be won over for Christ. Our text verse is from Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's the topic as well. Walk by the Spirit. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we will be busy with feet that make haste to run to evil. How much attention have you given lately to someone's feet? And here are some interesting facts that I found on the internet. During your lifetime, it's likely that you will walk approximately 185,000 kilometers. With the rising fuel prices, it will be more. On average, women walk more than men daily. And over 50% of women have bunions. This is because of all the walking. They have also four times as many foot problems as men. By the time a baby reaches the age of one, their feet have grown almost half the adult size. Jeremy and Melissa will check, and Jono. Someone also wrote that our feet are a significant marker of nonverbal communication. If you are in a conversation with someone, they are smiling at you, but their feet are pointed towards the door, they're likely to run. And someone may appear calm before giving a sermon or a presentation, but their tapping foot might betray their nerves. And rarely we are surprised by where we find our feet planted. For the direction of our feet demonstrates the position of our hearts. We are naturally inclined to run to sin. And sometimes we stumble upon evil. But there's something that's detestable about feet. And that's feet that make haste to run to evil. God hates this. The feet that make haste to run to evil is an indication of our heart that is inclined to sin. And we are advised to rather walk with the Lord. Wisdom to walk in the way of the Lord. And the only way that we can walk in is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Imagine that you and a friend are walking, doing the river walk. You talk, you laugh, you listen, you share what's going on in your lives. And your attention is focused on the person next to you. You notice the beauty around you, but only to point it to your companion. You are in harmony. This is what it is to walk with the Lord. This is when we enter into a heart relationship with God through faith in His Son, according to Hebrews 10 verse 22, where the Lord becomes our heart's greatest desire. And because He is our greatest desire, we want to walk on the path of the Lord, knowing Him, hearing His voice, sharing our hearts, our desires, our pains, our misery, but also seeking to please Him. And He's our focus, and our eyes, Hebrews 11, are directed to Him. He's everything to us. And so when the Bible speaks of walking, it refers to a lifestyle. You can walk with the world, but it will be fatal, according to Psalm 1. Then the Lord warns us, you should walk with the Lord. Follow the way of wisdom. Some of us think we are strong enough. My feet will not walk with the ungodly, will not make haste to run to evil. But the Bible tells us otherwise. Lot's feet carried him to the city of Sodom, where sin flourished until it was destroyed by fire. Samson's feet, the strongest man on earth, took him to the Philistines, and he became entangled with women, leading to his capture and death. King David's feet stayed when he was old and bored at a palace rather than war with his soldiers. And that led him to bed with Bathsheba, another man's wife. And if they were not strong enough, who are we? We, along with Lot, Samson, and David, would be a people without hope. if it was not for someone else's feet, who took him to Jerusalem. John 13, in obedience to his Father, who washed his disciples' feet and the feet of others. And his feet were pierced for us on a Roman cross. And he is the Messiah. He is Jesus. He's our King. He's our Lord. And everything came in fulfillment with him. Isaiah 49, the servant song, prophesied how the Messiah would be Jesus. The servant king came to a needy world, made himself the man of sorrows, the one in prison, the lonely, unwanted one, the rejected one for us, the one willing to wash his disciples' feet, feet that make haste to run to evil. I want to take you to John 13, especially with the Lord's Supper. That's just before Passover. In John 13, you can open your Bibles there. John 13. Jesus and his disciples were in a little room. And he told us how we should act as Christians. He told us that if it wasn't for Jesus, for himself, dying on a cross for us, there would have been no hope. That we should act in the same way as he. Do as he did. Includes washing the feet of our neighbors. And the context of these words is very familiar. This was the last night of Jesus' earthly life. The first Lord's Supper. The last Passover meal. And he and his disciples were in that upper room. They've gathered to celebrate a Passover. On that night, he would have been betrayed. He would have been handed over to be tried by the high priest and Pontius Pilate. He would have been crucified the next morning. And it was a busy day. It was the end of a day's walk from Bethany to Jerusalem. And everyone's feet were dirty. Dirty feet is a problem. Even more that inclination of dirty feet. Feet that walk into evil. They all wore open sandals. And so the host used to invite guests to wash their feet. And the humblest servant usually did this work. And Jesus was the host. The Lord's Supper set invited us to have communion with him and with us, with each other. There was no slave to wash the disciples' feet. The basin was there. The water was there. But no servant. But a servant king. And Jesus got up, took off his clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel wrapped around him. The fulfillment of Proverbs and Isaiah 49. This gesture made a lasting impression on the disciples, not only because it expressed pure love, but because washing their feet, Jesus laid a foundation of servant leadership, that Jesus was prepared to serve. So complete was his love, that he was willing to wash their feet, feet that haste to run to evil. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. But a question remains, what should we do? And Jesus said, I've given you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Follow his example. By washing the disciples' feet, he showed how we should serve. Jesus Christ, the embodiment of all wisdom, put to death all things God hate, walked in obedience where no one could, so that we could become God's children, that we could walk in his words. rather feet that make haste to run to evil. And in him, our desires are now changed by God's grace and steadfast love, which enable us to follow in his steps and keeps our feet from slipping. But you may ask, how is the Lord doing this? And how can we follow Jesus' example? And so the Apostle Paul answers, Galatians 5 verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When you walk by the Spirit, your feet will become free to walk in the way of Jesus, the truth and life. And we can only be free from the sin and the slavery of sin if we walk in Jesus. And if we are obedient to the Word of God in a true faith, out of gratitude, this is what we confess in Lord's Day 32, that Christ has redeemed us by his blood, delivered from our misery by God's grace alone. And we do good by Christ, and his Spirit is renewing us to be like himself. So that in all our living, we may show that we are thankful to God for all he has done for us, and so that he may be praised through us. This is to remain in Christ, to walk in Christ. And that walk will not lead to evil, but eternal life. To walk with God means we choose to glorify him in every way we can, regardless of personal cost. Walking with God also means that we cannot walk with evil people anymore, or the world, Psalm 1. It means that we choose the narrow road over the broad way to destruction, Matthew 7 verse 13 to 14. We don't live to please our sinful flesh, Romans 13 verse 14. And we seek to eliminate everything that does not enhance our walk with him, Hebrews 12 verse 2. In short, we are encouraged to walk with Jesus, to die with him, live with him, by faith in the confession that he is the Lord, and we follow his example in the washing of the feet of our neighbor. And so Paul explains in Galatians 5 that the Holy Spirit is now living in us. He's renewing us. He's making us part of Jesus in a true faith. And the Holy Spirit is renewing us every day to be more like Jesus. That is called sanctification. This is everywhere we go, in how we act, to crucify that sinful desires, to live by the Spirit, everywhere we walk. And our feet are reorientated as the desires of our hearts are renewed through the Holy Spirit to do what God loves and hate what God hates. And so feet that make haste to run to evil will also now be an abomination to us as well. We will run away from sin, but be willing to wash our neighbor's feet if we must. This means that our feet will be fitted, and he's fitted, with the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6 verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so the Apostle Paul mentioned that your feet should be fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And this is the certainty to know that you are saved in Jesus, redeemed by his blood. And that gospel of peace will be with you everywhere you go, every step you take, how difficult that step may be. Because our feet is fitted with the peace of Jesus. In Jesus, we have the true peace. We have the comfort that God who gives peace assures us that Christ's return is near. Those who believe in him also know that nothing on this path, this road of life, can separate us from his love. And this is to know that Jesus' peace became part of our life. to put on the gospel of peace in our feet, to run to the Lord in everything we do and say, in prayer. And we have received everything. We are equipped. Our feet is equipped. And we need and can continue in the way of the Lord. We have received God's word and spirit. And the spirit has transformed our feet that make haste to run to evil to beautiful feet washed by Jesus himself. And our feet is now ready to proclaim the gospel, to lift the gospel, to walk in Jesus, so that we can confess with our lives as it is written in Romans 10 verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That's you, brother and sister. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the fact that our feet were washed by our Lord Jesus Christ. That we are clean. And we could celebrate this through the Lord's Supper this evening. To live in the Lord. To have joy in the Lord. And to walk with you on the path of righteousness. Father, we pray that our feet will only walk as you directed our feet to walk. That we will walk in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, Father, we struggle. But we know your Spirit is sanctifying us, renewing us every day to walk the way we should. Be with us, be with your people. In Jesus' name, amen.